Good morning, everyone. Today is October 19th, 2021. It is 10:01. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Quorum is present. If you can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number three. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for October 19th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Manager? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have one recommended change for today's agenda and then a discussion on the last one. So we asked to move number 10. This is the website update contract to the November 2nd, 2021 meeting at the Story County Courthouse in Zoom, just to continue that item. And then also we want to mention the last meeting, number 5, was removed or was continued from the agenda of the October 5th, 2021 meeting. And that was a Fire District Commission agenda item dealing with a dozer agreement. And because the board had listened to and had discussion on that matter and continued it to this meeting, the fire chief is still working on that contract and how he wants to structure it. So we asked to just remove that from the agenda and to make note that this action occurred today. And the fire chief is here if you'd like to speak to him. I think we're good.
So we are dealing with the dozer today or we're not?
We're not going to. Gotcha. Continue to remove it completely.
What number was that?
That was from the last meeting. It was item number 15. It is not on the agenda.
It's not on. Gotcha. Okay. Noted.
That's it.
All right. Any other public comment? As a reminder for those on Zoom, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. You can also use the chat feature. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No. Good to go.
All right. Would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's agenda with the changes noted by County Manager Osborne.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes for September 7th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for September 7th? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions about the minutes?
No questions.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Well, I just had one item to correct, and that's in the minutes under item 7, which is near the bottom of page 2. It reads, Jeannie Green, Labor Relations. Excuse me, it's the act. I think it's the action or no, it's not consent agenda. Sorry, it's the motion on it. So, top of page 3, and it just says, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the compromised settlement agreement. I believe it should be the compromise settlement agreement. So, just remove the D off the word. Other than that, everything looks good.
Did you get it, Joe?
That was large.
we're gonna miss that. We're gonna miss that.
It's coming, Laura. It's coming.
Yeah. All right. So the noted correction on the minutes.
Yeah, with that, I can make a motion to
go for it.
All right. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the minutes from the September 7th meeting with the one noted correction to item number 7.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number 5 is today's consent agenda, which is possible action will be taken. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda?
Okay.
Do you have anything?
Or? I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under number 5, Roman numeral 1, subsection E, Silver Mountain Retreat. The agenda language is correct at 465 South C Street. Everything is fine. It is the agenda packet was brought to our attention. It has a different address that was scratched out. I just want to make it clear for the record that the agenda language is correct at 465 South C Street. Everything else is fine.
Noted. Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, anything on today's consent agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No. Is that what County Manager Osborne pointed out? Is that something that we should deal with separately, or can we just acknowledge it and move through?
I think we can acknowledge it, but
I would be fine just acknowledging it. The agenda language is okay.
Okay. Very good. All right. Entertain a motion?
Yeah. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number six, which is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. The comments should be limited to matters not on the agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. This comment should be limited to each agendized topic. And 3 minutes will be given for public comment. Is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment, we will move on. Item number seven, this is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we will start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Chief Deputy Dawson, nothing to report.
All right, thank you. Moving right along to the Fire Department, Chief Moncar.
Good morning, Chair and Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. It's nice to be back Story County after the worldly adventures and educational learning. Finance is so much fun, Jennifer. The only thing I have to report is last week we did some community education down to schools and went really well. We had a good turnout. And along with that same line of thought and education is also for our public, as the temperatures are dropping, please take some time and service your fireplaces, get them cleaned. Hopefully we can go this year without any major chimney fires that end up leading to homes burned down. But as we're moving out of the wildland season, all crews are back, and our fuels crew, we're going to be extending one more offer, and we'll have that entire program built up to fully staff funded. And I have nothing else to report, and I'll take any questions.
Great. Thank you. No, Commissioner Gilman, anything?
Thank you.
Vice Chairman. Thank you, Chief. Welcome back. Next on the list is Public Works, Jason Wersbicki.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Just have a couple things real quick. Winter's coming in, so be careful of the shady spots on the roads. We can't hit everything, but we try to. And another thing is we're getting close to wrapping up our drainage project for this season down on Mark Twain. We're working on LaFond today, installing some culvert pipes. So if you guys got any questions, shoot.
Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jason. Moving right along to Project Coordinator, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick item today. I want to report that the courthouse paver repair and reset project is currently out to bid. I did contact several general contractors to see if we get some action on that. We're looking at a bid date of November 1, and I will advise the board as I know. And that's all I have for you today, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
Nothing, thank you.
Vice Chair? No. All right. Thanks again, Mike. Moving on to communications, Becky Parsons. She with us today?
I don't see.
Okay. Moving on to emergency management, our new director, Laura Mather.
Good morning. Thank you. For the record, Laura Mather, emergency management director. Starting off with all things that is COVID, for the week update that covers September 23rd through September 29th, Quad counties reported 17 deaths, 384 new cases, 225 additional recoveries. Specific to Story County, for that period, we had 12 new cases, 4 recoveries, and no new deaths. That leaves us for a total of 188 cases, 49 active, and 135 recoveries. We continue to monitor, obviously, the COVID pandemic and how it pans through. As of now, this keeps us on the stricter mask guidelines. There was some conversation about the home tests for COVID-19 and how that would be tracked. As of my last conversation with Carson City Health and Human Services, they were not aware of that happening or how that exactly would work. So if it is discussed formally with the health departments, then I'll share that information. But as of now, they just don't see how that could be possible. We had our COVID-19 vaccination survey that we did. I want to thank Rad Strategies for taking the lead on creating it, monitoring it, and getting it out on social media. Our goal was to get a better understanding of the vaccination rate, which we have questioned from the beginning. A total of 226 surveys were completed on the behalf of the person who completed it and their household, which totaled 457 residents. So that's only 10% of our population. And it's, you know, impossible to get a really good idea of what our accurate vaccination rates are based on that number. But I do want to thank everybody who took the time and completed that survey for us. Rad Strategies did create a very detailed PowerPoint presentation, and I'm happy to send that out to anybody who would like to see it. It's got some interesting information on the areas that responded. So the Highlands was the highest response at 40-something percent of the response was from the Highlands and then Virginia City. So it's got some good information. I'm happy to share that with anybody who'd like it. I do want to remind everybody that our community project grant is due no later than November 5th. So if anybody has any questions, please call me 847-0986. I'm happy to answer questions, help with the project, help with the application, whatever I can do. Again, I haven't heard from anybody yet, and I'm going to assume that it was just so fabulously written. Nobody has any questions, but please reach out to me if anybody has some concerns or questions on that. We had a conversation with the Desert Research Institute in Reno about a project that they want to do. They have been talking to Story County about a smoke monitoring project. We have smoke sensors, air sensors here in Story County, but the Desert Research Institute has received a grant, and the project title is Development, Implementation, and Evaluation of Stakeholder-Driven Wildfire Smoke Monitoring and Messaging in Rural Nevada. The goal of the project is to increase wildfire smoke risk mitigation in northern Nevada counties through the development, implementation, and evaluation of stakeholder-driven monitoring and messaging. So I wanted to give the county a heads up that we are working on that. They would like to do a presentation at the next county commissioners meeting. So I'll make sure and arrange for that to be on the schedule. So they will be, I don't know if they will be here in person or on Zoom, but they can give a lot more detail into that project, how it will benefit the community, also how it will benefit emergency management as we continue to deal with these extreme summers of wildfire. So giving you a heads up on that. Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful did a cleanup in the Lockwood Rainbow Bend area on October 11th. So Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful is an organization that arranges Truckee River cleanups. They typically stay within Washoe County, but they will work in the surrounding counties. So they did a cleanup with a group of 12 people, again, along the Truckee River in the Lockwood Rainbow Bend area. 12 people for 2 hours. They cleaned up 34 bags of trash and 6 hypodermic syringes. So it was, you know, a great project for them to get that garbage out of there. They are happy to do this for any group. If there's any, you know, any group of people on their own, a part of an organization, they can reach out to Matt Weber. He is the Adopt a Spot coordinator, and he can be reached at 775-851-5185. And again, they provide everything. So they provide the bags, the gloves, the trash pickup, all of that. They just need the bodies to actually do the work. That is the end of my report. Stacey York, I don't believe, is on the call right now. So she wanted me to remind everybody that she has her lasagna cook-off on November 5th at 6 p.m. Anybody who is interested in a chef application, give Stacey York a call at 847-0957. And that's the end of my report.
All right. Thank you for that, Laura. I would ask that maybe you email that, the results, to the commissioners. We can get that out to our constituents. One question I had regarding the grant. So if we don't get a response, have we determined that we'd be able to roll those funds over, or those funds gone for the year? If we don't get anybody to speak up.
We have not determined that, have we, Jennifer, on how we're going to handle that?
I don't believe that we have. Normally, it's
gone.
That amount of money, and we start over.
No problem. I know there was some discussion of possibly doing that. So, all right, I'll get on the horn. I know there is some talk down in Lockwood, but if nobody's turned it in or contacted yet. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Laura?
No, but thank you. Such wonderful work you're doing.
Things
are happening all over our county, and thanks to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Laura. All right. Moving on to community relations. Honey Tapley.
Good morning. Honey Tapley for the record. The third Thursday of every October is International Shakeout Day. This event is an opportunity for individuals, families, and workplaces to practice their earthquake drills, which should already be in place. So this year's International Shakeout is scheduled for October 21st at 10:21 a.m. Drills can be held whenever and wherever. They can be held from home, work, or school. And this year, because of the ongoing COVID-19, they can also be held through video conferencing, just to accommodate any social distancing needs that need to occur. So earthquake drills should include taking proper actions like drop, cover, and hold on. So the drop is you drop where you are onto your hands and knees. This position protects you from being knocked down and allows you to stay low and crawl to shelter if the shelter is nearby. And then you cover your head and neck with one arm and hand. If a table or a desk is nearby, crawl underneath it for shelter. If no shelter is nearby, crawl next to an interior wall, but make sure it's away from a window. Stay on your knees and bent over to protect vital organs. And then you just hold on until the shaking stops. Under the shelter, if you're under it, hold on to your shelter with one hand and be ready to move with it if it shifts. Like if your table starts shaking, just hold on to one leg and make sure you stay under it to continually protect your body. If you don't have a shelter, hold on to your head and neck with both arms and hands as you stay ducked down. And emergency preparedness experts recommend this is the best way in most situations to protect yourself during an earthquake. So we are asking that on 10:21 a.m. on October 21st, that all county employees practice their earthquake drills wherever they are at the time and utilize the drop, cover, and hold on. We would like to see what the drills entailed and ask that all employees who participate to email us a selfie or a photo of what you or your coworkers did for the drill. And we will be giving a prize, not sure what it is yet, but it will be fabulous. So we will be giving a prize to the most creative drill. And Laura and I will decide who's the most creative. So if you want any more information on the International Shakeout or just different ways to be ready for an earthquake and how to protect yourself in your home. FEMA has several downloadable PDFs that are for homes and workplaces, and they also accommodate children or people with disabilities as well. And we would be happy to email those links out if anyone would like them. And then, thankfully, wildfire season is winding down, And if the summer showed us anything, it really reinforced how quickly fire can spread and how communities can be changed in a matter of minutes. I reached out to an organization called Living with Fire, and they are an organization that are engaged in helping communities live more safely with the threat of wildfire. They work with Fire Adapted Nevada, which is led by the Nevada Division of Forestry, and they also partner with federal, state, and local firefighting and resource management agencies. And they are also managed by the UNR Cooperative Extension. When I reached out to them, they got a lot of information for us to give out to residents. And the information entails how to protect your homes and the communities in which you live. And they gave us several different pamphlets and books for homeowners on how best to create defensible space and how to be ember aware. The books include which plants to choose for fire-prone areas in northern Nevada, how to keep pinyon pine trees healthy, and they're really nice books, and they are free, but different little pamphlets and guides as well, like wildfire evacuation checklists. But they give you ideas on how to retrofit your home for wildfires and the keeping the pinyon pines trees healthy in order to keep them alive and, you know, reduce the combustibility around your homes. And also on the different mulches that people may use in the area that could also create a fire hazard. And the different pamphlets on being ember aware, fuel management, and a wildfire evacuation checklist, what you would need to have ready to be able to evacuate should a fire come through. So if you would like any or all of this information, please feel free to reach out to me at 847-0986. And we are currently putting together different packets for the future for different scenarios for evacuation and planning for different disasters that could occur in the area. So that is all for my report.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Yellman, anything?
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman? The only question I have is that larger booklet available online?
Yes.
Okay. Would you be able to send a link
yes.
over so I can get that spread out to the Highlands folks?
I will.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you are welcome.
All right. Moving right along to the BCTC. Benny Dotson.
Good morning, commissioners. Denny Dotson for the record here. And really, it's just been you know, seasonally busy. We always benefit from a fall with the lots of events and with the Grand Prix moving in, you know, to the fall this year. They weren't able to do it in April. It made a little hectic, but we are enjoying several weekends in a row here of major events that are moving the needle positively for the merchants here in town. The Gold Hill Depot continues to be used, even though we did winterize it, or Public Works did. Tom Gray will be used that for both the haunted, the pumpkin trains, and then roll right into Christmas trains. So that facility is being used. The fairgrounds, you know, we say if you build it, they will come. And commissioners, we have enjoyed now three straight weekends of that property being used. From the biker rodeo to the endurance horse race, moved into that property this weekend, and loved it. And then now we have the Grand Prix set up. We'll take a week or two off, and then we'll get ready for monster trucks, which we'll see. We'll see how this event goes. It'll be interesting. I am working with Pete over at the building department just to make sure again we're dotting our I's, crossing our T's, and how they come in and set up for that property. But we finished up the month of October. You have Haunttober here, and you'll also see quite a bit of haunted activity with people coming up and joining. There's a lot of fanfare right now, a lot of press. We'll look for a big week next weekend with a lot of, again, activities from multiple merchants. It's kind of neat to see that there's a lot of people getting involved. We had a visitor last week, both County Manager Austin and Commissioner Mitchell and myself met with Senator Cortez Masto and did a little kind of an update back in 2020. She asked what we needed, what we could use. And a lot of it was tourism focused. She promised she would come back, and she did. And we had a nice chat in person last week. And again, talked about tourism, but also other infrastructure for the county. So I know that Austin or Clay may chime in there. But some of the things that we focused on from tourism was obviously the need for just updated facilities, fairgrounds, infrastructure, water, power, visitor center, and then also the freight depot, which is a will be our version of the convention center. We also talked about, again, transportation, which is a big important piece for tourism. And then really just the only other update would be that the VCTC will not be meeting on November of next month. Our next meeting is on the 9th of December. So if you have any questions, commissioners, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Thanks, Denny. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Denny?
No questions. Thank you, Denny.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Denny, for that update. Moving right along to water and sewer. I don't see Mike out there. Is he? No, Mike. No. All right. Moving on to the comptroller's office. Jennifer McCain?
Nothing right now.
All right. Thank you. Assessor's office. Jana? I don't see her on there. We will move on to the recorder's office.
Good morning. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thank you. How about IT? James on there today? Human resources, Toby.
Good morning and thank you. HR has nothing to report this time. Thanks.
Thank you. Moving on to community development, Pete Renaud.
Good morning, commissioners. Pete Renaud for the record. Austin wanted me to share a graph that's on our strategic plan. Vanessa, can you let me share my screen?
Give it a try, Pete.
Okay. Let's see. Can you all see it?
Yep.
I sent the commissioners this last night. This is from the strategic plan that Linda Ritter's been helping us develop for the next 5 years. It shows the active nuisances from February 20th up to May 21st, the 2021 year. As you can see, there's quite a few nuisances that are still out there. New nuisances during that same period, it breaks it down to the month so you can see what we have going on there. And then settled nuisances. Typically what's happening right now is Chris Hannum, who's over in Sacramento taking a seminar right now for another certification, he's having an abatement every 10 days is his average. He makes sure that he lets me know that all the time too. So September, I have his dashboard for September. I'm sorry, I don't have the other ones for June, July, and August. But in September, we had 24 active nuisances. Settled nuisances, we had 4. And then we've had 4 new ones. And right now, current cases at the DA's office, pending prosecution or the pre-prosecution program, we have 15. So we have some major ones that are at the DA's office that they're handling. There's a lot of work involved getting these things cleared up. But I know there's been a lot of questions about specific properties, but they are being addressed. And I'll take any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
Nothing, thank you.
Vice Chair?
I just wanted to thank you, Pete, for providing this this update to us. It's helpful to see how things are progressing, both on the economic side that you also sent over and the nuisance side.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's all we've got. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to community chest. Do we have Eric Schoen with us? I'm not missing an action. I do see the Fourth Ward School there. Did they want to chime in today?
Yes. Good morning, commissioners. I do have a few things to share. Let me see you all too. Hello. We had a successful season at the museum, and we have reached 60% of our revenue reflecting 2019 budget. And we have to take into consideration that 2019 budget was our best year of the museum. So due to all of the, I guess, dysfunctions of COVID, we reached the 60% this year. So we had over 6,000 guests coming through the museum. We had great events. We had our fundraiser. We've been pretty busy. And of course, the construction, as we all see in the community, which I have very good news. We're almost done. Hopefully by the end of the month, the scaffolding will come down. So we are going to have a vibrant west front of the building. Now with our some events coming up, Saturday, October 31st, we have, October 31st is the end of our season. So we're going to close the doors to the public. And we have a couple events coming up. Saturday, October 30th is going to be a festive day at the museum, as we're going to participate with Virginia City's Hunt October Scavenger Hunt between 11 and 4. And later in the evening, we will have our first Halloween ball. So we're going to have a party at the museum with fun activities such as flashlight scavenger hunt, costume contest, photo booth, snacks, and spirits. That is going to be between 7 p.m. and until 10 p.m. on Saturday. And on Sunday, October 31st, we will finish our season with a trick-or-treat scavenger hunt with the passport for kids to come in and find candy. And also, we are having a book launch, like a book debut from a local artist, author, Brenda Findlay, which her new book is A Portal in Time at the Color Mine. So, yes, so it's going to be pretty neat reading passages from her book and signing books, and it's just going to be a festive day. If you have any questions, please go ahead. And thank you. It's Nora Stefu for the record.
Thank you, Nora. Commissioner, yes. Gilman, anything?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you for that report, Nora. See you sometime on the 30th.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the Justice Court. Let's see Judge Harrington on there. How about the DA's office?
Ann Langer, the district attorney, nothing to add today.
Thank you for that.
I would like to add one thing, Mr. Chairman, if I may. That is that, it's Keith Loomis. The Judge Wilson has entered a default judgment in which he has declared that the north end of Long Valley Road, where it crosses Mazzaro Park property, is a public road by virtue of status as an RS-2477 roadway. He is also required that any signs indicating to the contrary will have to be removed immediately. And that's all I have.
Thank you for that, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Keith?
No, sir, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks.
All right. County Manager's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I got a lot of items later on the agenda, so I'll hold off till they're there, but I'll just mention we do really appreciate Senator Cortez Masto coming up and visiting with us. Commissioner Mitchell may want to talk a little bit about it as well. Danny did a great job talking about tourism, and we did talk about water and sewer and infrastructure funding. And we just really appreciate her taking her time to come up and be with us. And thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman, do you want to talk about Master's visit?
No, it was a good productive visit, and I look forward to matching up needs and resources.
Perfect. All right, Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Austin?
I have no questions. I'll follow up. However, we had an incredible meeting last year with Cortez Masters. She spent a full day in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center and visited half a dozen companies one-on-one, and has shown a very specific interest in Story County and our success and what's happening here. And so I can tell you that that relationship and communication has continued, and we find her to be very, very responsive here for Nevada issues, and especially our rural county issues, and she has a focus on Story County. So we have a lot to be thankful for there.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. Last but never least, our trustee clerk, anything? All right. That wraps up the staff reports. Thank you for everybody that was here and gave an update. Let's jump back to the agenda. We are now on board comments. I'll start at my far left. Mr. Gilman, anything?
Yes, sir. I have a new company that I'd like to comment on that has joined our Story County family here recently. And probably next to Tesla, and maybe on an equal par, is as an exciting company in technology and leadership in the world today as any company on the board. For those of you that have studied what they call nanotechnology is a new product line, actually. It's a derivative with molecular restructuring of graphene, which is a product from graphite. And this product is probably going to lead us into the next centuries on an incredible, phenomenal basis. And this company just recently purchased 515 acres here in Story County. They've already started the grading. Within 7 days, they started the grading on their first product. There'll be four companies that'll be collectively making up a 515-acre campus park. Nanotechnology as a product line pretty much crosses military uses and consumer uses, and it's a fascinating thing to follow. And I'm going to tell you candidly, it's over my head, but one of the things they'll tell you is it's 10 times stronger than steel. 10 times stronger than steel. And this won't make a lot of sense, but it's molecularly thin. They can make a product that's incredibly thin and yet durable. And a ball of it, the size of a tennis ball, would cover the entire world globe with a covering of this product. So probably one of the more exciting things that I've seen with it, and one of the technologies, it's a research and development park along with manufacturing. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that they create is membrane. And that membrane is capable of cleaning brackish water to a drinking water standard. Mm-hmm. And it will really change the technology used in sewer treatment plants today. And will be a tremendous value to the state of Nevada, which is a dry state, as we all know. And so being able to utilize that. But all types of skins and automobile, and they're, one of the technologies is battery, indestructible battery in battery cases. And so, you know, we all kind of look at 3D printing, nanotechnology, and electric car as the three leading industries that are going to lead us all into the 21st century. And here we are in our Story County, in our family, and we have now nanotechnology, and we have the largest electric car firm. So I'm waiting for the 3D printing, but I'm sure it's right around the corner. Awesome. Wonderful company to join us.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
Just a couple things to mention. I had the opportunity to
you know, I've lived here almost a decade now and have never actually taken the opportunity to go down to the Sutro town site. And so there's a ownership of the town site has been transferred to a nonprofit, Friends of the Sutro Tunnel, Friends of the Sutro. And they are, they're working to restore the historic structures that are there with an eventual goal towards reopening the Sutro Tunnel. That's a big job. Some efforts by past companies to shore up the tunnel were not necessarily done adequately. And so it's in pretty rough shape. But I'm pleased to see a really organized effort. It was neat to be able to kind of get a feeling for the history, some good volunteer work going in. And I think it really has the potential to become an attraction in and of itself. Lots of interest, as you might imagine, from Germany, because that's where Adolf Sutro came from originally. And so talk about potentially making it into an event location as well, possibly some vacation rentals in some of the older homes that are there. Some really cool things that are happening. So down the road a bit, but it was neat to see the progress that they've got going. And they opened up for some tours and things this last week. And I'm sure there'll be more of that as they move forward. I do want to also mention, I take every opportunity I can to mention that it would be extremely helpful for us to be able to straighten out zip codes throughout Story County for our residents. I know it's inconvenient for them to have to work outside the county for mail service sometimes and those things. And so I did take the opportunity to mention that to the senator's staff, as well as and anyone that has anything to do with the federal delegation. I'm always mentioning it. And I know that the last time we had a zip code issue, it took an act of Congress to get it taken care of. So I imagine it won't be much easier this time. But I think if we keep pushing on it, hopefully we can get something done there. So, and that's it.
All right. Thank you for that. I definitely don't have anything as exciting as zip codes, but last week, Story County lost a pretty vibrant figure. Doc Durden, for those who know him, was larger than life. We lost him last week. And I know that there's going to be a service at Piper's, I believe, in December 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. Keep an eye out on Facebook for that. But just wanted to remember Doc. You know, for those who remember, he's a whipcracker during the some of the parades we have. That's it. Just wanted to make sure that he was not overlooked. And that's all I have today. So with that, we'll move on to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 21-632. Honoring retiring Joe Curtis for his service with Story County and to the residents and businesses of the county. So with that said, Austin.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. This is a honoring of Joe Curtis for 45 years of service and beyond, in fact, to Story County. Joe Curtis has served Story County in so many different ways. I couldn't possibly list them all here, but just in official capacities, either to the county, the state, or otherwise to the residents of our country. He has a background with the volunteer fire department in Story County, continues to serve in that capacity. He's been with the FBI and various other federal organizations. He has been with the Carson City Sheriff's Office and, of course, the Story County Emergency Management director with Story County. Joe, I think, dedicates all of his life to the county in all different ways, whether it's Liberty Engine One or whatever other organizations he serves in through various means in the county. So this is definitely, we have a plaque prepared for Joe. He has certainly earned this without a doubt, continues to earn it, as I think his plans are to continue volunteering with the county for the next 45 years. But I don't think he'll ever completely just disengage, and we certainly don't want him to. So 2 weeks ago, we had a celebration for him over at Piper's Opera House. It turned out fabulous. There's a lot of people on their team that contributed to that and making that what it was. And I really want to send a thank you to them. And with Joe, they wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for them believing in you. So really appreciate what you've done for us. So there's a resolution in front of us. I would ask if you'd like, I'll read the resolution officially into the record. And then there's a plaque. We could call Joe up and maybe deliver him the plaque and take a photograph. And maybe Joe has a couple words too.
Yeah, maybe we'll jump to public comments, see if anybody out there has anything.
Sure.
They'd like to. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, is there anything you wanted to say about Joe?
I would. Reflect on certainly the small amount that I know about Mr. Curtis, but I've enjoyed immensely the association over the last 8 or 10 years. But they say in all industries and walks of life that there are icons that are true leadership icons in and around the world today. And I don't believe there's anyone more dedicated in Story County, more deserving of the term an icon in this community. And he's touched us all in so many ways, including safety and quality of life and the confidence that we have, the kind of leadership that brings confidence to a community. But I thank you, and I will always see you as an icon of Story County.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah. I'll just say ditto. That was fantastic. Joe, really want to express my appreciation for all that you've done for the community. You know, it's my fairly recently adopted home, but I think we to a great extent stand on your shoulders and benefit from all the work that you've done to preserve it. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe, my fellow commissioners said it well. I do want to add that, I think Story County would be a little bit less historic without you involved. I know you've done a lot for providing photographs for the county buildings. I know personally, I've emailed Joe a couple times when I found something cool out in the desert. Joe is my go-to guy. Haven't found anything of serious value yet, but some pretty cool items. I think you're not leaving us, so we don't need to deal with a farewell, but hope you stay as involved as you want to be, because there is definitely a lot of institutional knowledge there. And I know you've got quite a photography collection, which I still need to go over and take a look at one day. But thank you for your years of service. I've had the opportunity to work with you for a while, and you will be missed. So thank you, Jill. With that, I'll hand it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 21-632. A resolution honoring Joe Curtis. Whereas Joe Curtis has faithfully served Story County for over 45 years, and whereas Joe Curtis has dedicated his job and the citizens of Story County, and whereas Joe Curtis has served with dedication and distinction, earning the respect of all he worked with both locally and statewide, and where Joe Curtis, his professional skills in several capacities have served to make Story County a better place to live, work, and play, and therefore it be known to all present that the Board of Story County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Joe Curtis for exemplary service to the people of Story County, Nevada, this 19th day of October, 2021. It would hopefully be passed and adopted on the 19th day of October, 2021 by the following. And then, of course, Chairman Carmona, Vice Chairman Mitchell, Commissioner Gilman. And at this point, if you'd like, I'll read the or present the plaque.
Please.
And Joe, do you want to come back? Come on up. Come on up for him.
Yeah.
Should we approve it?
Yeah.
Yeah, do we need to approve this?
Should we approve it before we present it?
Hopefully you approve this, Joe.
My wife wasn't able to be here. She had a mishap on her bicycle. But,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's doing better.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So my work wives are here, though.
Well, if we're going to do a picture, how about we kind of come over and figure this out?
Good luck. That's perfect. This works.
Joe, right in the middle, I think would be good.
That'd be good. Yeah. Okay, can we just do it front, maybe in front of the podium?
Yeah.
Why, this isn't good enough?
The glowing red light.
Oh,
want Joe to be the center.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I think this works.
Turn it around so we can see it.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So, as we move on, storytelling, emergency management director, appreciation for more than 45 years of experience or service in the 1976 to 2021. I want to thank you for your dedication to our community. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank
you. I hope we didn't make a job like this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Get you the lines here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's put it in here.
I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Pending approval, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if they don't, we're going to have to give it back.
Just run down, Jill.
I'm going to peel your name off, put it in there. All right. I don't have anything else, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to make this official?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I move to, sorry, I'm on the wrong agenda. That would have been a little rough. Just send me back to it. All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 21-632, honoring Joe Curtis for his retirement from service with Story County and to the residents and businesses of Story County.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Joe. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, moving on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration with possible direction on working with the Nevada Department of Transportation, also known as NDOT, to obtain written clarification on the ownership status of State Route 342 in Virginia City and Gold Hill, approximately between Lyon, Story County Lyon, and the SR 341 truck route intersection.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of what we have here is just a request for me to get direction from the board to update the board and kind of where we want to go with State Route 342 between Devil's Gate and the Fourth Ward School. This is a roadway portion that, like other areas throughout the Comstock, wasn't quite dedicated through the proper means because of historic things that happened 100 years ago. So over time, a pathway that made its way to Virginia City. Of course, Joe is here. You might correct some of my history. But the pathway had become a road and the road become paved. And then at one point, you know, did it really follow up easements or right-of-ways? It's kind of unknown. It's like everything else up here. So where there is a little bit of a challenge is, so there really is no definition of where the road ends and Story County begins. And as far as the shoulders go and what's underneath the pavement, and that sometimes leads into trouble when public works will go out, they'll do sewer work or shoulder work or have to get an encroachment permit. And sometimes we'll run into a new staffer at NDOT will come up and it's like we have to reteach all of ourselves every time there's an issue, you know, where the pavement ends and, you know, Story County or whatever begins. And so I've reached out to NDOT and asked him if we can get some kind of a memorialization, a letter explaining what the rules are. Is the road owned by NDOT or is the property owned by Story County underneath the road? Is NDOT's jurisdiction going to be oil to oil, as a lot of folks have said? Or is the jurisdiction include also the shoulders? How wide amongst the shoulders? Is it the same through the entire stretch of roadway or does it change in certain areas? To give you an example, down where Comstock Mining had done all that new road work and then dedicated that to NDOT, that right-of-way is actually an established right-of-way. And it's actually like a real modern road with proper dedications. And then as soon as you leave that pavement back onto the old road, it's kind of back to the old west. So I think having a letter like this or an agreement or some kind of decision with NDOT that we can keep in our pockets and NDOT can keep in their pockets. So every time we go for an encroachment permit, we want to do work on the road or the shoulder or do something else. And there's someone on staff on either side that says, where do we figure out where to do this? We can just point to that letter and say, okay, this is what we decided. It's a maintenance easement, maybe like USA Parkway. We know where that ends and begins. Or it's an actual dedicated road.
And that might require some court action and a decree, or it could be some other kind of, you know, a survey being required. NDOT, through our meetings with them, we met with them recently and in the past, they want to make this as simple as possible. They can recognize that this is a historic piece of route. And some of the ideas they suggested is maybe creating some kind of an agreement between the county and NDOT that would make a maintenance easement on the road, and then they would define where the shoulders are, maybe from center point of road to a certain period of our point. And then maybe there's a couple areas that need to be surveyed to determine, like that Comstock mining segment I told you about, you know, where that begins and where it ends. So it really is, once again, something, whether it's an easement, a court decree, or some kind of letter or agreement with NDOT, it would allow the parties to be able to manage that piece of roadway without any conflict. NDOT's being totally cooperative. They want to resolve this as much as we do. The last meeting we had Mr. Loomis with us, and he helped give us some guidance on maybe, do we want to really go full legal on this, or do we want to maybe make it easy and just go easement and resolve the problem, even though, you know, there's still some questions. That seems to be where we're leaning. But at this point, if you're fine with it, we would continue those conversations with NDOT and then start preparing perhaps whatever action would be most appropriate for this board then to consider at a later time, and then ultimately for NDOT to consider. And to remind us that Keith Loomis is on the phone with us today too. He was at the last meeting. He may have something he wants to add to this.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Assistant DA Loomis, do you have anything you want to chime in about regarding this item?
No, I really don't. I think what we're looking at was more along the lines of a kind of a maintenance easement that we have on the USA Parkway, and that's what we discussed with NDOT, and they're kind of in favor of that. But I think Austin explained it fine.
Great, thank you. Let's go to public comment. Does anyone have any public comment regarding this item, item number 11? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything you'd like to add to this?
Well, I'm going to assume that there's no agreement in existence today over these roadways. So this is brand new business for the county with NDOT. That's really very interesting, but certainly I'd support that that process and project. We need to know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, I just had a question for County Manager Osborne. The I saw a letter attached in the packet from February of 2020. Just wondering what the outcome was of that, if anything.
I'll be happy to answer that.
Yeah, please.
Yes, I thank you, Commissioner Mitchell. I did include that letter. That is from 2020. There have been a few conversations with NDOT since that period. There has been follow-ups saying, how are we on this? How are we on this? And the most recent meeting that we had was the NDOT got all of their engineers, their lawyer folks, their district office people on there. And I would say at this point, it's got real momentum and it's going to, something's going to happen.
Great.
Good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I don't have any questions, but like Commissioner Gilman, I think it's definitely the right thing to do. So with that said, Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to direct staff to continue working with the Nevada Department of Transportation, NDOT, to obtain written clarification on the ownership status of State Route 342 in Virginia City and Gold Hill, approximately between the Lyon Story County line and the State Route 341 truck route intersection.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Godspeed on that one. All right. Item number 12, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a non-exclusive easement between Lockwood Community Corporation and Story County for public access and for use and maintenance of a portion of Canyon Way, accessing five residences, cellular towers, water storage, and other utility facilities and adjacent slope area. Austin?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. About a year ago, this board had given direction to staff to consider in the capital improvement plan improvements in the Lockwood area And one of those being a road that currently exists going from about Canyon Way up to those towers and water tanks there in Lockwood. The road's in dire condition right now. There's a retaining wall that's collapsing. There's roughly $200,000 worth of repairs that need to be made on that to make it functional. This road does access utilities and other appurtenances in the Lockwood area that serve the entire community. But the Lockwood Community Corporation alone is responsible for maintaining and at its own expense doing this, taking care of this route. And I don't think I need to explain the challenges with that. So the board had given direction to staff about a year ago in the capital improvement plan to consider what the cost would be to rehab this entire roadway and then to assume responsibility of its maintenance henceforth. And that is what this easement would allow us to do. So Keith Loomis was involved in the easement. Our own staff, myself, involved in the mechanics of it, and the Lockwood Community Corporation's attorneys, well. And the LCC board, as my understanding, they've approved this as it is here, and then it would be up to this board to approve it. And then for the forever, it would be in place as long as both parties agree to for the county to maintain it, fix it, maintain a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit on it. I don't think you could go more than 1 mile an hour on that route, but let's just... for the sake of this would allow the sheriff to, you know, enforce that and other matters. So I certainly recommend approval of this. The Lockwood Community Corporation is very grateful that the county is assuming this responsibility that really is for the benefit of the whole community. And the fire district chief was also involved, not to throw him under the bus, but to make sure that at the top of it, there's proper fire truck turnaround. That would be able to better serve those residents that live up at the top of this road. And I certainly defer to the chief if he has anything he wants to mention. Otherwise, thank you.
Before I go to public comment, Chief, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I'll just add that I'm in full agreement with this. It's going to be better for us to get equipment in and out of that area to service some of that.
I was going to say, I just fully agree, is that this is an opportunity to actually improve our access there so we can deliver good services in a timely manner. So I fully agree with the movement here to improve that road.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
All right. We're going to go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not see any public comment. I'll move on to Commissioner Gilman.
So my interpretation of this is it's a project that's long, long overdue. I think we're probably fortunate at this point that we haven't had some form of accident or tragedy on this particular piece of road.
Yeah.
And so I'm delighted we're into a position as a county now where we can approach and undertake that upgrade. And I'll mention as well, as I think this last year has been a real banner year for so many of our outlying communities like Lockwood and Mark Twain and others, but we're in a position now where we can commence some of this upgrade and in a safety and on behalf of the public good. And I think this is probably the second or third project we've undertaken down there just recently. I think that the turnaround with the available access for the trash over on the other side of the community has just taken place. So I applaud this. This is a wonderful step in the right direction, I think, for our county. I thank you for that.
Sure. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. I do agree with you, Commissioner Gilman. It's I think it's been long overdue, and this is one of those items that we need to get moving on. So with that said, Vice Chairman, to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a non-exclusive easement between Lockwood Community Corporation as grantor and Story County as grantee for public access and for use and maintenance of a portion of Canyon Way accessing 5 residences, cellular towers, water storage, and other utility facilities in adjacent slope area.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving right along to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to authorize the county manager to enter into an agreement with Titan Electric for traffic signal maintenance for the signal systems along USA Parkway in an amount not to exceed $20,000 per year. This cost to be reimbursed by NDOT for any amount over $1,500 per interlocal agreement NM389-18-016 AMD1. Is Mike taking this? Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator. Just some background on this. We currently have two traffic signal systems on USA Parkway, one at USA Parkway and Electric. That was built by NDOT, turned over to us, and is currently maintained by Carson City's Traffic Division under an interlocal agreement with them. The other signals at USA Parkway and Interstate 80, this was also built by NDOT, was turned over to us. We did petition Carson City to see if they would absorb this signal into their maintenance agreement, and they declined to do so. So staff looked at a few sources here, City of Reno, City of Sparks, County of Washoe. None of them were at all interested in taking on this signal system. So staff solicited quotes from some private companies. We did get one response. That was Titan Electric. Provided a quote, which will cover both of those signals. Staff feels that it's probably important that we have a single point source of responsibility for maintenance on those signals and not have a patchwork of different agencies and standards being applied there. So this action basically will just authorize the county manager to enter into a maintenance agreement with Titan once we get our budget and spare parts inventory squared away. The spare parts inventory becomes very important because some of the pieces and parts of these systems are readily available and some have enormously long lead times. So if we have a drunk that runs over one of our control cabinets, we could be out of a signal for up to 5 to 6 months. So we want to maintain a spare parts inventory. You can see the quote from Titan was $19,200 per year, and that services both of the signals, and both of them get twice yearly. Every 6 months, they have a very thorough, very rigorous inspection procedure. Every lamp, every lens, every housing, the subsurface utilities, everything is checked. So we think it's pretty important that we get this into place. And that's all I have for you. I can take any questions if you like.
All right, thank you, Mike. Is there any public comment regarding item number 13? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
So, Mike, just to make sure I understand kind of the structure of this, it looks like NDOT will reimburse us for anything under 1500. Is that 1500 annually, 1500 per signal? What's the,
what does that mean? Yes, sir. That would be annually blanket across the systems. So it's an existing agreement as referenced there in your package. And they agree to fund 100% of all maintenance costs beyond the initial $1,500. Sort of like a down payment, or I mean a deductible sort of thing. And there's some other provisions in there that relate to emergency repairs. It's very, very similar. And unforeseen repairs, which I imagine would be about the same thing. So that is correct, sir. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. And I don't have any questions for Mike. So with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell moved to authorize the county manager to enter into an agreement with Titan Electrical for traffic signal maintenance for the signal systems along USA Parkway in an amount not to exceed $20,000 per year. The cost is to be reimbursed by NDOT for any amount over $1,500 per interlocal agreement, NM389-18-016 AMD1.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Glad that's finally taken care of. All right. Moving right along to item number 14. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. It's first quarter 2021-2022 budget versus actual overview for Story County. Comptroller McCain.
Morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. As we know, 25% of our year is behind us as of September 30th, and I just wanted to inform you what's going on with everything. For the general fund, overall, our revenues look really good. Currently, at that 25% of the year behind us, we have collected 45% of our revenues that we have budgeted for the year. This includes ad valorem, which it's important to note that this property tax is a front-loaded revenue, which means that a large portion of this is paid in the first quarter and will go at a slower pace in the following three quarters. We have a few areas of revenue that we're currently watching, and that includes our licensing and permits. Our business licenses are significantly down this year with only 14% collected. Going over this with community development and the sheriff's office, we are thinking that this is due to several small businesses that shut down due to COVID, as well as Tesla has completed a lot of their work. So a lot of these construction companies are not renewing their business license with us at this time. We are really working with the sheriff's office and community development to see why so many of our licenses are past due and trying to bring them up to date. Another area that we're watching is our gaming licenses are down. This has to do with both local and state revenues. Combined, we're at less than 10% collected. Our expenses at the end of the first quarter for the general fund are at 30%. This is not alarming due to the fact that we do have several expenses, such as our liability insurance, that we pay upfront for the entire year. So it throws the first quarter off just a bit, but we know that. We do have a few items in interdepartment areas, such as the change of the duties between the commissioner's department and the admin department, where when we budgeted, we moved several items that were once paid out of the 105 or the admin budget into the commissioner's budget. And when those expenses got paid, they were paid at the old account numbers. So we'll be GLing those items and the budget won't look so off, but that won't affect the bottom line of the general fund. We also had a few salary distributions that were changed in the budget that moving forward into the new year, pay requests were not adjusted, and we are currently working on changing those. Those will change the bottom line of the general fund and a few of our other funds, but it will be extremely minimal. We did catch that early. Those things are one benefit of doing these quarterly reviews, is we're able to find these errors early on in the year, get them corrected, and be able to review our financials and see a truer picture. Further breakdowns for the general fund. Overall, our salary and benefits are at 20%. This is mainly due to some staffing changes and turnovers. Overtime with our 24/7 departments is once again trending to be over budget. In particular, is communications department. I've discussed this with Becky a little bit before she went on vacation, and we plan on really digging into why her department is having so much overtime. Right now she sees that they had a few issues with some illnesses that have gone rampant through their department, and we can't leave communication department unmanned. So we have to pay that overtime. Okay. Service and supplies is at a 25% usage across the board. This does include those liability accounts, once again, that are front-loaded. One area that we're particularly paying attention to is our fuel expense across all departments. From this time last year, we are seeing approximately $1.20 to $1.30 increase in price per gallon of fuel. There's nothing we can do about that. Our sheriff cars, our fire trucks, our public works, everybody, we need fuel. So that goes over budget. It's definitely explainable, and we're watching it to be able to maintain that if it needs to be augmented. Other areas that we usually see high in the first quarter are computer equipment and building maintenance. Departments see towards the end of the year that they need these things and they're budgeted for. So right as July 1st happens, they're ready to hit the ground and make those big purchases or upgrades to the buildings. One other thing besides those front-loaded expenses that does throw our first quarter off a little bit is the transfers that we budget, inter-fund transfers. For example, the general fund transferred $2 million into capital projects fund. That's loaded. We do that right at the beginning of the year so that we can move forward on the projects that we have budgeted. Some fund highlights include in the road department. The road department revenues are trending above the 25% at approximately 30% collected. The gas tax is a big driver of this. That alone is at 42% of collected, so it's almost double what we expected to see at this point. This is primarily due to that new diesel tax. When we budgeted last year, it was a guess, and we hadn't seen that tax, and we budgeted very conservatively. Happily for us, it's trending to be a really great revenue stream that's going to help the road department do their projects on their own with little to no help from the general fund. So it'll be really nice. With that, the road department expenses are only at 13%. I see this as most likely that's due to only 2% of the road improvement expenses and projects have been completed or started. That's kind of an ongoing through the year expense with a lot of those start minimally this time of year and then move forward as spring hits. Emergency management is one other fund that we are really watching. This fund absorbs all of our COVID expenses, which are minimal right now, but they are still significant as we really streamline that budget to slim down as the year goes on. Two of our ongoing COVID expenses are our Zoom expense, which is approximately $75 a month. And we are still continuing to clean a majority of the public access bathrooms, which is currently $4,500 a month. This line item is at 30% usage. If it continues to go this way, the line item will be over budget, but the fund as a whole, provided we have no further emergencies, should fall within its budget. Our capital projects, infrastructure, and grant funds, I combine those because the majority of our capital improvement projects fall within these three funds. This year, we're in a unique situation where a majority of our projects are in wind down, where the other ones are just now ramping up. We don't have any huge projects currently where we're in the middle of them. We had some big changes in a few of the projects that we were looking at where Laura and Honey have been able to start the process where we can apply for grants for some large water projects, possibly the Lockwood Community Center. And so we've backed off a little bit and plan on spending the money that we had allocated for a smaller project to get some engineering reports and environmental studies done so that we can apply for those grants and we can fully fund some of these larger projects. Currently, our projects that we have planned for this year is the Virginia City Highlands Fire Bay, which will make the community center part of that fire station area fully available to the community. And then in the future, we plan on making some upgrades to the community center portion. Our Lockwood Community Center, Senior Center project, as I explained, has made some turns, and we will be funding the preliminary steps for a much larger project. As we discussed earlier, the sidewalk in front of the courthouse is set to move forward, as well as the VC Freight Depot roof. And then we plan on spending some of our project funds on the upcoming large water projects. The Virginia VCTC, their revenues look great for what they budgeted. They're currently at 50% of their budget, with the camel races alone collecting $77,000 more than they budgeted for. It was a great event, which in turn, you would expect to see that their expenses went up that much, but fortunately, Denny and his team in Liquid Blue were able to pull off a fabulous event without raising the expenses too much. Piper is also looking in the positive direction. They have collected approximately 28% of their revenues, which does include the support from the general fund. Their expenses are only at 20%, which, keeping this in line, if we continue to see the higher revenues and the lower expenses, I think we could look at maybe Piper's being able to support itself sooner than later, which would be great. Finally, I'd like to say I'm really happy where we are budgetarily for the Surrey County funds and the general fund. The department heads continue to spend conservatively, and our revenues are continuing to come in as scheduled, all of which make my life a little bit less stressful, so I appreciate it. This does allow other time for me to work closely with the county manager, Austin Osborne, on our capital improvement plan, which brings me to, I'd like to, in the review, give us a little future look at some of the things that are happening with our CIP and plans to fund these items. Currently, we are preparing to apply for a few large grants. It is really important for me to note that while there is a lot of federal support and grants coming available to us, none of this money is free to the county. It takes a lot of staff time and a lot of our money to prepare for these grants. As well, the matches for these grants could be upwards of 20%. For example, if our water projects total $6 million, that free money will cost the county $1.2 million. That's a lot of money. The payoff is, of course, extraordinary and it's wonderful, but we still have to budget for that money. The water and sewer funds are not in a position to fund that. We need to find creative ways to make those things happen if we want to move forward on these grants, because, of course, to prepare the package, they're going to want to know where that money is coming from. With that being said, I look forward to working really closely with Laura and her team to get these grants going as soon as they give the red light, or the green light, excuse me, to move forward, which is why we've chosen to spend some of our capital improvement money on these engineering reports and environmental reports. We can't move forward on these projects without those things. So it's a good turn for Story County to start being prepared ahead of time, so we're ready to jump when the money comes available. That's all I have for Story County.
Great. Let's go to public comment. Is there any public comment for Jennifer regarding the budget? Just a second here. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Jennifer?
Yeah, what I'd like to share here, I think, with the room is a little bit of history. And I would tell you that I am so proud of what we are enjoying today. It was not that many years ago that our county undertook the process of line item budgeting. And that required a transition and all of our department heads and the line item estimating of our costs and our plans and our budgets. And I believe that process today is probably the envy in the state of Nevada for budgetary controls. And along with that history, once we did the line item budgeting, the department put together a quarterly report, as we've just enjoyed. And that was new business for us that hadn't really taken place until just recently. And under County Manager Austin and Jennifer's tutelage here, we truly, I believe, have a system that's it's clear, it's concise. It keeps us up to date quarterly on where we are and what's happening, and with the ability to adjust and react to unusual things in the marketplace. But I thank you very, very much, Jennifer, for all the effort. And I just, Austin, I think this is an incredible moment for our county and how our fiscal responsibility kicks in and how we take care of our budgets.
Thank you.
I want to acknowledge you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, just super, super pleased with the way that things are going so far this fiscal year. I'm still kind of learning what to expect and had some questions and talked to County Manager Osborne and Comptroller McCain, and they helped me with a lot of that. Had a couple questions just on the overview that you talked about today. You talked about how both we're down in both gaming licenses and business licenses. Is it fair to say that as economic development goes forward with the county, that those are becoming less significant portions of the county revenue, those particular funding sources, are gaming and business license revenue?
They are definitely less significant. However, where I see the business license and what alerts me is how much lower the first quarter is from last year. It's approximately a third of what we collected this time last year. And I see that as a potential issue. I don't like to think that businesses are leaving Story County. And if they are, I would think it's important for us as a county to know why. And if it's the opposite of where people are just late in paying their business licenses, I think that's also an alarming thing for the county. Yep. We need to know why that's happening. I'm tending to think that we've just switched over to a new system. So my concern is what's not working right or what's not being reported appropriately. So not that any of our employees are at fault, but there's could be a glitch in the system. So it's important for us to find out why. Why are we collecting one third less?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. And yeah, thanks for being on that. As far as the TRA payback, that came in a little below what we were expecting. But because that is reflective of previous years, we probably should not draw any conclusions as far as the economic situation from the amount that's coming through that fund. Is that a fair assessment? In other words, it's not reflective of current tax revenue being generated out at the business park. Yeah. And so we can't necessarily say, oh, it was lower, our businesses didn't do as well, or we didn't have as much economic activity because we're catching up with some audited financials from the past.
Correct. The amount that we have paid back on the TRI-Payback Fund, that's due to an audit that was completed through 2019. The 2020 audit is currently in progress, which is still in the past. That audit will always continue to be, in my hope, it will only be a year behind because our county audit needs to be completed before they can even start. So I think we will, in hopes, that amount that we pay back will rise because that's just a reflection on that the county is doing better. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And that's my hope, that a rising tide lifts all boats, helps us pay off our obligation faster, and,
right,
and everyone wins, so to speak. I noticed in a few departments, and I'll reach out to them individually, and this is just to help me, that I noticed it was not big dollar amounts. Overall, everyone was managing their overall budgets really well, but I did notice that it seemed that expenses in either operational or miscellaneous accounts were substantially more than 25%, which would be our benchmark at this point. And I realize that it's common to have front-loaded expenses in that regard, and so I'll reach out to them. We talked about a few of them, but I'm trying to get a feeling for what's to be expected so that if something pops out in the future, we have a good idea. I can put it into context. My last question is, do you think that it's possible that we might need, in talking specifically about the grants and matching funds and those kind of things, do you think it's possible that we might need to consider updates, adjustments, augmentations prior to the next budget cycle to provide for some of that? Or do you think that the time frame on going out to apply for those grants is such that we can handle it through our next regular budget cycle?
Of course, in a perfect world, I would like to handle it in our next budget cycle. With that being said, depending on the grants that are falling into place, and we're waiting for the money to be approved for grants to be let go for us to even apply for, the timing is going to be imperative. So it is possible that we would have to augment something or have in place, for example, for the water fund grants, we might have to have in place that the plan is to loan X number of dollars to the water fund. Right. Whether that loan is scheduled to go through after the next budget, that might be happening, but it's all going to come down to the requirements of those grants.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jennifer. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you. In addition, I just kind of want to make a couple points here, and Jennifer can certainly correct me or adjust where needed, but like business licenses, we had an unprecedented amount of development over the last few years at a Tri-Center, and there's business licenses associated with those companies that go out there and do building, and then when the construction stops, they move on to other things, especially out-of-county business licenses. So I don't know that we see a big in an exodus of companies leaving the county or anything like that, whether it's in Virginia City or Tri, but there is that, you know, flow of construction. What Commissioner Gilman brought up regarding nanotech, that will, you'll see a huge influx of business licenses coming into play in the next three quarters as they start ramping up. And then the second thing regarding operations expenses, I know you can get to Jennifer's office and you can look at with her offices instead of each department is go through each voucher and see the expenses that come in operations. And Jennifer, I'm just going to say these and you can say, no, that one's not actually an operation. That's actually a furniture expense. But when a department gets their budget, they will a lot of times on July 1st order what they need right there, especially now knowing that it might take months to get the item. But, you know, PCs and tires and repairs of things, equipment and office supplies, office chairs, maybe not necessarily furniture that might be in a different item. But a lot of times those expenses all occur up front right away. And then you'll see a lull in the next three quarters of that item. But I think Jennifer or myself would be happy to go through those details if you want to take a look and see where that pattern is for, you know, whatever departments. That's all I have. Thank you.
I'd like to add with that, I'm working really hard with departments across the line to spend the money in the line item that it belongs in, whether or not that's where they budgeted for. My goal this year, I don't like an operating supplies account number. I understand the need for it. A lot of departments use it as a catch-all, a miscellaneous. If, for example, a department didn't budget for a new filing cabinet because they were just going to throw it into operating supplies, I'll move that into furniture. So then their furniture line item looks out of skew. It's not budgeted for. The overall service and supplies is where we ultimately watch. As long as they're falling in budget with all of those line items, I'm okay. And I understand that there's a reason for those things. And I'm happy to go over anybody's budget and explain to you why furniture and supplies is over budget $500. I told them to do that for these reasons. I need to know what they're purchasing and I need to be able to look at a glance and say, sorry, Austin, commissioner's office spent $5,000 on furniture that year. Why? What happened? Why wasn't it budgeted for? So those kind of things are really important.
Great, thank you. Yeah, my goal is definitely not to delve on a regular basis down into to that level. I'm trying to set an expectation for myself, so I know if something looks higher than what mm-hmm. what is a red flag and what is typical right. or normal, and so that I can by scanning kind of the high level get a good feeling for if we're where we're expected to be or not. So thank you, super appreciate it.
And always, you're always in any. With commissioners, department heads, public, if you have questions, please call me. I'm happy to make the time and to go over any of your questions. A second set of eyes is always great. Commissioner Mitchell found that I submitted the wrong budget for the fire department for this process. You start to just look at the same things over and over, and that second set of eyes can point things out to you. So.
And you do. I don't have any specific questions, but I do want to echo what Commissioner Gilman said. I think that, with everything that we've been through, pandemic included, I am thoroughly impressed with your office, with the department heads. Everybody seems to be, following the program. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank you and the rest of the department heads for adapting. I know there were some changes that we've had to make, but I think y'all are doing a stellar job. So.
Thank you.
That's all I have. If there's no other questions, we will move on. All right. Thank you again, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Stick around.
Yep.
No point in walking back for a minute.
When you hear from me, you hear a lot from me.
Moving us on to item number 15, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 16, which is again discussion only, no action. First quarter 2021-2022 budget versus actual overview for the Story County Fire Protection District. Controller McCain.
Hello again. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. The fire department is, or the fire district is overall looking really good. As with the general fund, the fire department's revenues are approximately 45% of the budget. This as well includes the property taxes that I explained that are a front-loaded item and they will slow down as the year progresses. As well, the fire general fund shows a transfer from the mutual aid fund, which usually we hope to have an excess amount at the end of the prior year, and this money was transferred into the fire general fund and then dispersed according to the budget into their mutual aid, not their mutual aid, their grant fund and their capital projects, as well as their emergency fund. The expenses for the fire district are currently at 26% of usage after 25% of the year has gone by. This does include some of those one-time annual transfers, as well as expenses such as their liability insurance. Their salary and benefits are, salaries are at 25% and their benefits are at 20%. Their service and supplies are currently at 15%, and they do have a couple of line items that are at or over the 25%, and these are due to the purchases that they make in the beginning of the year. Mutual aid, that fund is on track for the out-of-district fires for their expenses. Their revenues to recoup these costs, as a normal every year, they lag to come in. Those out-of-district fires are billed after the fire season, and once those different states, counties, organizations start to put up their billing sites, from what I've talked with Tiffany and Chief Longcar, and that has not even begun. So if you look at mutual aid, those revenues work opposite of property tax. They're backloaded. So we expect those to come in, cover those fires. The grant fund, this was designed to account for expenses that we plan for with grants. The major grant, of course, that we're working with is the NV Energy contract. This is a contract where our expenses are expected to match those revenues, or the revenues are to exceed those, but they also do always fall a month behind. We bill the month after and they pay accordingly. That's all I have for the fire district. If you have any questions for me.
All right, let's go to public comment first. Is there any public comment for Jennifer regarding the fire district? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
No, I have nothing, thank you.
Vice Chair?
I don't know if the fire chief wants to add anything. I don't have any specific questions.
Well, it isn't like Jennifer needs much help. I just kind of was here present just in case questions did come up. But I do want to add just a touch on the NV Energy stuff. We watch that really closely because we are talking big money. Over the course of the 3 years, we're sitting at $3 million. So we're trying to make sure what we're putting out, and I know this has been quite a process with the Comptroller's Office as well as ours, to make sure we track them. So as Jennifer stated, those are money that we invoice and we wait to come back. So as you're looking at that 290 fund, understand we have got $381,000 in invoices out that are waiting to come back. So when you first see that, it really strikes your eye because you're looking at, we're running in quite a deficit. Well, that's the reason. We are just waiting for those monies to come back in. And that's all I have to add, and I can answer any questions.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, anything for the fire chief?
No, sir, but thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks.
Nor do I. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I would like to add on the NV Energy Fund. That's something that we will see where our fiscal year closes on June 30th. We're working to utilize a module that we have for project management where we can track that entire project over the life of the 3-year life of that project. So there will be no stopping and starting within the project.
Okay, great, noted. Thank you. All right, that'll bring us on to item number 17. You're all done, right?
No.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done with fire. Sorry, oh, gotcha. I'm not done with talking to you.
Go ahead.
No, for the next time.
Oh, recess to reconvene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Bringing us on to item number 18, which is discussion only. First quarter 2021-22 budget versus actual overview for the Story County Water and Sewer Fund. Comptroller.
Hello again, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. Within the Water and Sewer Fund, we have to watch both of these funds, particularly the Sewer Fund, very closely. Their revenues are currently approximately at 25%. However, our charges for services is the area where I pay close attention to, because the charges for services is the area that is expected to pay for the daily operation costs of these funds. Right now with the water department, our charges for services are looking at approximately 30%, and our sewer is trailing that a little bit at 28%. It's a little bit higher than our 25%, but at this point with these two funds, we will take every high point we can get. With that, the expenses on the water fund are trending at approximately 21%, and the sewer expenses are tracking at approximately 20%. So on the flip side of that, we will take every down point on the expenses that we can. We count the pennies in these funds, which in our world, we try not to count pennies because it's stressful. It's not fun. But really watching these and seeing where they're trending to go and watching where we can make some little changes to keep these funds floating and supporting themselves. So with that, that's all I have for water and sewer. And it's small but positive notes.
Okay. Let's go to public comment regarding item number 18 in the sewer fund, water sewer fund. Is there any public comment? No public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
No, I assume I take that as so far so good, Jennifer.
Well, thank you.
And we'll take it. And I know that's a concern to us, but perhaps the future will get brighter. I hope so. Thank you.
Maybe that graphene will help with her new sewer plant. It's a little late, but Commissioner, Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I'm sorry I didn't ask you about this before, and we could follow up offline, but I noticed a couple of just miscellaneous revenue lines, which are pretty nominal, but was there something we were expecting that didn't come through there? Both on the water and the sewer side.
I didn't hear the last part, excuse me.
Was there some revenue, miscellaneous revenue that we were expecting that didn't come through, or is that something later in the year potentially?
From what I understand, and having been with the water department before, those are some revenue line items that are kind of hit and miss, and they happen at different times of the year.
Okay.
So it just may not have hit during that first quarter.
Great, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. I don't have any questions for you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I get to go sit down. Yes.
Right. Thank you again for those presentations.
Thank you.
Moving right along to item number 19 is to recess to reconvene as Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 20, which is again discussion only. No action will be taken. Quarterly update for the county manager on administrative and other matters involving Story County.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. So this is the first county manager quarterly update that accompanies Jennifer's fiscal update. And so I think you'll see this morph over time as we practice, but also as the strategic plan starts to get near completion. So I'll start off with that. There's kind of an administrative stuff I'd like to talk about, community outreach, the strategic plan, and then capital. And so the strategic plan at this point, Linda Ritter's been working with each of the departments and kind of working our way up. She's now working on my department, HR, comptroller, and I think community relations. And she's already worked with public works, community development, dispatch, IT. And then once we get all of the administrative appointed departments done, then we'll bring them to the board. And then Linda will help you kind of dovetail the discussion in with the goals and objectives and mission that you set earlier, and let this board then interface and determine, kind of provide direction for the next steps on where that strategic plan will go. You'll get a chance to see where the department heads and all of the staff, everybody's been involved in this, not just the department heads, with Linda. And you can then give direction on left, right, in the middle, and all these different components. Then at that point, while we work on the final red lines of that, then there'll be a discussion with the elected departments and creating strategic plans for their offices. But we want to take them a little bit different because sometimes they have NRSs, they have other types of things that dictate what they do that may not necessarily be the same thing as a strategic plan for a department. And that would be for the sheriff, the clerk's office, the courts, you name it. So I believe by the end of this year, not fiscal, but calendar, that we'll be looking at that red line, complete strategic plan, and then beginning those elected office plans. And probably by March of next year, this board will be looking at that final determination on capstoning the strategic plan. I could tell you at this point, the departments have been fabulous working with Linda on these plans. There are so many things that the plan is finding that I myself and departments already are implementing things that we know that is notwithstanding what direction the strategic plan goes. We're finding, you know, budgetary things that might be more efficient, ways of handling things, ways of equipment, restructuring staff. There's just all kinds of things. It's really great. So looking forward to that. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about here today is just where we're going. And some of it is being guided by the draft or strategic plan. And other things are guided by this board on specific directions and the budget and community outreach. So I'm happy at any point if you want to interrupt me or ask me to explain something while I go through a list, please do so. And otherwise, I'll try to kind of just touch on some of the things we're working on. So I'll just start with administrative projects. You know that we have relocated 911 dispatch to the new center. And you know, overall, it's been going very well. There's been some things that weren't thought of and some equipment and, you know, restructuring that, you know, weren't accounted for. But it's been pretty smooth. And the dispatch center has been running very well. The building is wonderful. It looks great. Becky would be happy if any of you want to go down there and take a look at her place. It's great. It looks wonderful. It's really working well. So that was pretty good. And IT had a lot to do with that. It wasn't just moving some dispatch employees over and a couple of chairs and tables and computers. There's antennas and network cable. There's interregional microwave equipment. There's all kinds of things that had to happen. All the Motorola stuff that this board had approved, all of the AT&T equipment that this board approved, millions of dollars worth of equipment all had to be transferred over. And if you remember, that transition happened during the 4th of July. So for a while, we had two dispatch centers running in case the new one went down. There was a backup still running during that event. There was no way to avoid that event because it's either that or do it during street vibrations or, you know, so that was pretty good. Emergency management director is now, as you know, a full-time position with Laura Mather. And Laura's working with HR right now and a little bit on my side on kind of figure out where community relations is going to fit in that model with senior services. And you're going to see quite a bit of a change going on at that point. Cemetery, for however long, we're kind of looking at that whole structure. And myself, we have a couple attorneys on it, working with Ann's office and planning department is on it. We're working with the Comstock Cemetery Foundation. There's a lot of moving parts on that restructure. We want to get it to where the board is taking certain action, the county is doing certain things, and then the foundation is doing certain things as needed in that. So that's moving forward, and it's going to take some time to get that restructured. It's not anything fast. The food pantry down in Lockwood and senior services across the whole county. Laura has been working really closely with all of us on restructuring a lot of that. And as this board is aware, there's kind of a vision there to have senior services completely running the food pantry and the senior services program in Lockwood, obviously in Virginia City, but also expanding that to Mark Twain in a similar fashion that's seen in Lockwood. Mark Twain would no longer in the future be the 501c3, and it's kind of putting things together with interface with the senior center. It would be more senior services running the whole senior program down there, senior services running the whole food program down there, and doing a mirror image of it in Lockwood. And then Laura's working with Stacy on there could be friends of or different 501c3 types of assistance along that, that can still allow the community to be involved, allow us to be eligible for grant funding and other things. And she's the person for it. So kind of a little bit what's going on in senior services and food services. As you're aware, during this last quarter, working with the fire chief, we have migrated the fire prevention officer services over to the fire district. They're now going to be performed there under the modified interlocal or the cancellation of the old interlocal agreement or the expiration of it. So Fire Chief Lonkar is working with migrating folks over to his office. He has a recruitment open right now for fire prevention officer or whatever he's going to call it, and then also fire marshal. And at that point, community development will be just community development. This has provided an opportunity with the retirement of the fire marshal is and the migration of fire prevention over to the fire district is like we have an opportunity with a blank canvas at community development to figure out what do we want to do there. And as you're aware, there's another agenda language or agenda item on today for discussion about economic development. And that really is a precursor to what potentially could happen here with economic development pending this board action, but really was caused by community development having a blank slate to be able to restructure. So I'm working with our department heads, with HR, even with this board in certain aspects on how we want to restructure community development, what we want it to look like, what do we want it to perform. And that economic development aspect that happens today will really be a big piece of that. And providing both community development, planning, building, business license, and economic development in one fashion or another. We'll let you know that we are amidst right now with a request for qualifications for insurance brokerage services for casualty, life, your general liability insurance brokerage between us and Poolpack. So this is not Poolpack being reconsidered. It's the broker in between. I won't talk too much about the folks that are involved because we still are in the middle of that RFP interviews. But we believe by the next board meeting, we'll have a recommendation for a direction to go in insurance brokerage services. Right now, we've been with the same brokers since the 80s. And so it's kind of our first chance to either continue with that folks or to look at other options. They're all right now in the queue. Right now, there's a negotiation going on with myself and Waste Management to change the Sunday trash fees on in Virginia City on Sundays to be similar to weekdays. Right now they're charging double. And there's one business reported a $16,000 a month trash bill. And that business is taking garbage down to the dump manually by himself now. I haven't validated those numbers, but it could be possible. This would make quite a change in that and help our businesses here on C Street. So far, Waste Management has been pretty cooperative and wanting to work with us on that. As you know, the departments have all migrated over to the Tyler systems we've been hearing about for years. And at this point, I talked to each of the departments and they're completely on Tyler at this point, except there's some archiving and some past things that they will sometimes use the old AS400 for to query or to cheat around just to get quick information. It's come to my attention from IT that it could cost $50,000 to put the bubble gum on the AS400 that's necessary to keep it going after a year from now. Instead of doing that, I've worked with the department heads and they're getting everything, including all their archive information off of that system. So a year from now, we can unplug that system and call it good for goodbye. There's one department that's a little more complex than others we're working with to try to get that migration to be complete. That is all I have on administrative projects. Do you have any questions so far?
Commissioner Gilman, you got anything?
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No.
Okay. In the last quarter for community outreach, I think you're aware that there's been a series of town halls that have continued on. And so on October 7, there was a town hall in Lockwood regarding flood management and the NFIP insurance rating. Kathy, Jason, Mike, and some other folks, Laura, were all at that meeting and provided a presentation to our community. And really the purpose of that meeting was to let people know what the federal government is coming with and to scope the community and what is it you guys are willing to tolerate and where do you want the county to go to mitigate these matters. I think it was a very successful meeting and so far I've gotten really good responses. On October 18, there will be another town hall at Piper's Opera House in Virginia City. And that one will focus mainly on water and sewer. I'd like to give a short education session to folks on what pays for the water and sewer fund, that it is an enterprise fund, and some of the things that Comptroller McCain brought up are a reality. And then also Mr. Dotson will be with me to talk about tourism and interface with the residential community, and any other topics that folks want to talk about will be open.
Now, so that's you said October, November 18th.
November 18th. Did I say October?
Yeah.
Yes, yesterday. November. Yes.
I just grabbed the calendar. I said,
yeah, yeah. We're going to have this yesterday. Mark Twain, there was a town hall that occurred down there as well that was completely open topic. And folks just came down and discussed issues that were concerned to them, whether it's water, development, community center, whatever it is. And then next would be the Highlands, if you look at the rotation. So I don't have anything planned at this point. Based on weather, it would probably be at the fire station. And with COVID getting some improvement, hopefully we can hold it indoors. If we have to keep the door open and keep it safe, we'll do that. And then I do want to talk about the website a little bit. We're still working on the contract for the website to get a couple things ironed out. But IT and RAD Strategies and our department heads have been really pushing we're excited about getting a brand new website up and running for the entire county, and it'll have an economic development portal in it that's very easy to use for our companies. That means Virginia City and Tri-Companies. But I think it'll also have all of the documents and things that we all keep without having to navigate through subpages and that sort of thing. So that'll be really an improvement for our county. That's all I have for community outreach. And last, I have capital improvements.
Any questions for us in regard to community outreach? Commissioner Gilman?
No questions.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Okay. If you're fine with this, I will just go down the list. It's pretty long, but I'll make it quick. But I want to preface it with, at the next county commission meeting, you guys will have a draft capital improvement plan. As you know, for the last year, the department heads have been going through a humongous list of projects that actually they put together. And then we've been working that into a wish list and then into a possible capital improvement plan with like a 1 to 8 year range of projects. And then a list beyond that of things that may be just on the wish list for now. So some of the things that you see here today are in that CIP draft. And then that next workshop will kind of get direction from the board on where you want to go. Then we can bring a real one with you, with Comptroller McCain and myself and others. So I'll just go quickly. Lockwood Community Center, I think you know from Mike Northern's updates where that is at this point. We're working on it. There's some delay on that caused by the exorbitant cost of a commercial kitchen.
Thank you.
one item might be insulation in the roof of the courtroom. So the Tower Road easement at Lockwood, we heard that earlier today. You all know where that is. Lockwood Sheriff Substation, I've talked to the sheriff about that and with Comptroller McCain. We're planning on budgeting for that this spring, and then we'll be able to get that building up and running by July. Well, get the building ordered or whatever it takes by July 1st. And I've talked with the sheriff about expanding the size of it a bit and adding an office where department heads such as myself could go spend a day, a month or something down there and interface with the community. And then maybe put some non-water landscaping boulders and a fence, something that looks a little nicer in the front there so it complements the community. So that's up and running or moving along. Lockwood Internet, I talked with James Dean from our IT department, and he's working on a way with that new sheriff substation to put in a tower, and that it's a short tower. And that tower would provide wireless high-speed internet to the Lockwood Community Center as needed, but also possibly we'd have to work with Keith Loomis because there's some 501c3s down there like the Rainbow Bend HOA and the Lockwood Community Corporation. They might be able to use this system as well. And so we'll have to avoid or be avoiding fiber going through the creek. This might be an alternative for that. And we get them high-speed internet and broadband. The next thing is Lockwood speed limit signs. Lockwood Community Corporation has purchased some of those radar signs, and we're working with them and legal and Republic Works to install those along Perry Branch Road, thanks to the new easement we now have through there. Next thing is NV Energy is plumbing the Lockwood community with natural gas. Rainbow Bend can plug into that without any trouble. The LCC cannot plug into it without trouble. So I have gotten authorization from Keith to use county dollars to do a Far West engineering assessment of the Lockwood Community Corporation to see what the cost would be to develop natural gas lines in that community and connecting to all the homes. And then they'll have a recommendation at that point. It's $5,000 to do that. Perry Ranch Road, as far as from the Lockwood community over to Mustang Road, we have met with Lepery and others on Perry Ranch Road for that segment. And there's some more communication that's still needed with attorneys and with them to figure out what we might be able to do with that stretch. Next is the Highlands Community Center / Fire Apparatus Bay. At this point, Mike Northern has gone out to bid for $290,000 for the Fire Apparatus Bay to be built. That would allow Chief Oldcar to remove all fire equipment out of the existing building into that building and allow the HOAs in the Highlands community to use that building without any restrictions. They could keep the furniture all set up and the chairs, carpet it, do whatever they want to do in there. And then as construction costs come down, we can then revisit the portion of putting in the restrooms and the kitchen attached to that if the board wants to continue going that direction. But we're taking a little bit of a phased cost responsible approach at this point. Next is hold on just a second. Okay, this last quarter, the Highlands for Cartwright Road rehabilitation have been completed by SNC, and then Public Works have done Loustown Road SR 341, doing the patchwork. And I'm just going to list of things that have happened in this quarter. The Mark Twain Community Center, at this point, Laura's group with Senior Services and Stacy, as well as the folks that are down there running the community center, are working together to possibly restructure that and have the county provide a full gamut of services for community and senior services down in Mark Twain. Jason Witzberkey has told you over the last quarter that the Culvert Road Rehabilitation Program down in Mark Twain has been moving along. The Mark Twain Flood Project with Kathy Canfield and the Carson Water Subconservancy District and Public Works has been proceeding forward. As you know, now we're a member of Subconservancy pursuant to AB 98. And there was a town hall down in Mark Twain to discuss flooding. And then Kathy and her group will continue working on getting that plan that was done into more of a list of capital improvements for that community for flood mitigation. The VC Freight Depot. At this point, Mike Northern's given you great updates as far as the beam repair, the structural repair, the sprinkler installation that's now in effect. Next is the roof. After that will be ADA improvements and getting access to the building. We believe this summer, the place will be ready for conferences and other things. It won't have bathrooms and some stuff that we'll figure that out. But for right now, we will have it fully or at least partially functional for activity this summer. Then will be parking and other retrofits outside. You're aware that we now have Fairgrounds Road going down to the fairgrounds, thanks to the board. And there's a parcel adjacent to that. We're taking the final signatures on to assume that 50 by 100 parcel adjacent to that road that's being donated to the county. And then for VC Water and Sewer, I'll just give you a quick recap of what Mike Nevin and Jason have given you over the time. The two tanks are all but complete. Tank number three, there's other tanks that need to be worked on. Gold Hill Sewer Plant, you know where that is, nearly complete. Laura's working with ARPA money to possibly pay for improvements to the water and sewer system, including the B Street line, the Taylor Divide and Silver City tanks, the Silver City water line, all distribution lines, and the Gold Hill sewer lines. And lastly, we're working with the state and with Carson City and others on the Marlette Water Agreement. The Marlette Water Resource Master Plan is almost complete. We're in final red line, and that will come back to this board for further action. And I will make a note to you that the water master plan is going to show that bringing water to the Highlands could potentially be $86 million. That is one thing that is a reality pointed out in the plan. And the IT office is complete over at the Divide building. I ask what if you have any questions and what you think about the format of this update and what you recommend in the future.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman?
I've really enjoyed the format. I appreciate it and look forward to more. And I'm certainly going to celebrate a full pipeline of opportunity and things going on. It's nice being busy. And so it's gratifying to hear all the things we're approaching. And when we're finished with this, I hope Mr. Chairman will allow a short break.
Absolutely. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, I like this the format of having a quarterly update. I think. If it's in the mix, then maybe if we know it's coming, then you won't feel need to update us on a lot of these things that are just kind of working in the background on an ongoing basis, and we can revisit them periodically and then make us a little more efficient on the in-between. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the update, and I think keep them coming.
Okay.
It's good for especially everybody to hear what's been going on. A lot of what we do doesn't get publicized, so I think it's good for the public to know what exactly is happening. Their tax dollars are getting spent, so good job.
When the strategic plan is done and what we're going to implement, I think these county manager updates will start having more data and numbers with them over time, too.
Right. Perfect. Well, it's sufficient for now. So thank you for that, Austin. With that, we will take a 5-minute break.
Take a public comment.
I did not do public comment, actually. Is there any public comment on this? Austin's update? Not see any public comment. Thank you again, Austin, for that update. We will go ahead and take a 5-minute recess. Be back here at 12:15.